All right, Daniel 2, verse 1, it says, "And in the second year of the reign of Nebuchadnezzar, Nebuchadnezzar dreamed dreams, wherewith his spirit was troubled, and his sleep break from him." After I dreamed this dream, I guarantee you mine would be too. There's been other kings that did similar things. You read the book of Esther, and then you read about Pharaoh, and this thing happens sometimes. But God sometimes uses someone else. You know, a lot of times we think, well, the guy's got to be saved to use. Well, we've seen several times in the Bible God uses somebody who's not necessarily a form or even a real good servant to be used. You think about Balaam. Well, the Bible says in Peter that Balaam went to hell. But Balaam was used of the Lord to get a message across. But the Lord knows who to use, who will be influential in the right case. Nebuchadnezzar probably at this time was the most powerful man on earth. And so he had a lot of influence, and the Lord knew what was going to transpire, so he gave him this dream. Look over in Jeremiah 27, and I'm trying to think of that guy over in John. The name just left me, where he prophesied and he wasn't saved or anything else concerning that someone should die for the nation. Can you think of who that was, Brother Kerry? The guy over in John, and it said that he prophesied that someone should die for the nation. And that name...
One of the high priests, Cephas, was it?
I think it was. It may have been Cephas. I think it was maybe Cephas. But man, yeah. That name just left me. But anyway, God uses other people. See, he's not limited to what we're limited to. Mm-hmm. And we have to remember that about God. But Jeremiah chapter 27, look at verse 4. And it says this, "And commanded them to say unto their masters, Thus saith the Lord of hosts, the God of Israel, Thus shall ye say unto your masters, I have made the earth, the man and the beast that are upon the ground, by my great power and my outstretched arm." Now I got to get off on a little rabbit trail just for a second. I love to hear the Lord brag on himself. Man, he can do anything. And you know what? We can't brag on ourselves and be right, but the Lord can brag on himself and be perfectly right about the thing. And I'm glad about that too. If you read Isaiah, he brags on himself a lot in Isaiah. I like to hear it. But it says this, "And now have I given all these lands into the hand of Nebuchadnezzar, the king of Babylon," watch this, "my servant." See, that stumbles a lot of people up. He called him my servant. Well, you know what you'll find out? One old preacher said this about the devil sometimes. He said sometimes the Lord sharpens his axe on the devil's grindstone. You know, you don't realize, you know, one time over there in the New Testament, the Lord told Peter, he said, well, the devil's desire to sift you like wheat. Well, you know what he did? He just used the devil to make a great preacher out of Simon Peter. Well, you know what something does when something gets sifted? When you sift wheat, you bring the junk to the top. Why? So it can make bread. And then bread can feed others. And here's the Lord. He turns the devil loose on Peter. Why? He knew what he could and couldn't handle. And he goes there and makes a man who's able to go out and help other people. He said, "Feed my sheep, feed my sheep," or he said, "Feed my lambs, feed my sheep, feed my sheep." And he goes out there and feeds the sheep. Well, see, he knows how to get things. He knows who will yield to the devil and who won't, and he knew what Nebuchadnezzar would do, and he calls him my servant. And but why? To get his thing to come to pass. "And the beasts of the field have I given him also to serve him. And all nations shall serve him and his son's son until the very time of his land come. And then many nations and great kings shall serve themselves of him." I'm going to stop there again. It said, "And the beasts of the field have I given him." You know, Nebuchadnezzar types Antichrist. You know what you read, Revelation 6 and many other passages that go along with it. And you know what? You imagine this one day when the beasts turn on man. You know, you imagine in the tribulation, these dogs and stuff like that, not only they get all this other junk going, but the dogs and everything else go wild. Why? Because they're in his hand. That's going to be something, man. All right, it says in verse 8, and it shall come to pass that the nation and kingdom which will not serve the same Nebuchadnezzar will obey the powers that be. That's the, you know, Paul writes, and what is that wicked guy that was Caesar, Nero, Caesar, as crazy as he was, Paul said, obey the powers that be. And obey God, the king of Babylon, and that will not put their neck under the yoke of the king of Babylon. That nation will I punish, saith the Lord, with the sword and with the famine and with the pestilence, until I have consumed them by his hand. Watch this. Verse 9, here's your warning. Therefore, hearken not ye to your prophets, nor to your diviners, nor to your dreamers, nor to your enchanters, nor to your sorcerers, which speak unto you, saying, ye shall not serve the king of Babylon, for they prophesy a lie unto you. See that thing? The Lord's saying, look, I know this thing sounds negative, but you better take the negative truth, because if you don't, something bad is going to happen to you. Now, a lot of people don't realize this, but By doing what God says, even though it goes contrary to the flesh, serving the king of Babylon goes, well, they're saying, hey, that don't sound right. We're supposed to be serving God. God says, okay, you hadn't been serving me. I'm going to put a new master over you. You better do what I say by serving him. And see, that goes contrary to the flesh. A lot of times you'll read something in that Bible and it'll go contrary to your flesh. But you know what? You better obey what the Spirit says, because the flesh will get you in trouble. Why? It'll try to go to some other authority to get a reason to do what it wants to do. See right here, they didn't want to do that. So you know what the Lord says? The Lord says, you better watch out. Why? Because these prophets and these dreamers and these enchanters and these sorcerers will try to tell you to do something contrary to what God says. And man, you better believe the world will find ways to get you brainwashed, to get you to go against that book. That they will get you to do something good in order to get a chance to do something. They'll get you to do something bad in order to get a chance to do right. That is one of the things I have to constantly remind myself. You'll find ways a lot of times, let's just say in my line of work right now, being a dispatcher. A lot of times the temptation to come in to lie in order to get a chance to get a good load. You know what I mean? Or if a guy's late on a load, it'd be a whole lot easier to lie and say, well, this really happened when another thing really happened. And everything would just be smoothed over right quick. But you know what the best thing to do is just say, look, that guy's an idiot. He's late. And I apologize. How can we fix it? Why? That way the rest of the day you ain't got to sit there trying to cover up your lie and trying to remember who you talked to and what you said. It makes life a whole lot more simple just to do what God says regardless. God says, look, don't do this. Well, don't do it, and that makes life simple. Now, don't get me wrong. You may get persecution here and there, but at least you don't have to worry about trying to cover up your lie and everything else, because then you're in trouble with both parties. Look, I'd rather be in trouble with the world, the flesh, and the devil than I had with the Lord, because if you're on the side of the Lord and you and him are walking along together, he's able to knock all that stuff back. But I can tell you something, you're not going to knock the Lord back. It don't matter what you do. You're not going to get away from him. You can't go nowhere and hide from him. That's why it's best to be right there with the Lord. Now, let me show you something. My servant. You know, you got this thing going on. And look at another thing. You know, the Lord uses Nebuchadnezzar. Look at Luke 17. Now, God did not force Nebuchadnezzar to do anything. He knew who to use and who not to use. He knew who to give that power to and who not. Why? Because based on what he knows about people, God knows what you're going to do way before you ever did that thing. He knew who was going. So he knew who allowed to get that power to and who not to. But he didn't force them to do it. But now watch Luke 17. Luke 17. I open my book up to Luke and then close it right back. Luke 17, verse 1. Then said he unto the disciples, it is impossible but that offenses will come. He said, they're going to come. But woe unto him through whom they come. You know what he's saying? Look, somebody's going to lie. Somebody's going to cheat. Somebody's going to steal. Somebody is going to betray me here, there, you know. But guess what? Don't let it be you. Well, he knows somebody's going to do it. But you know what? You better not do it, because the one who does it, woe unto him. See, that the Lord knows things are going to come. That's like Judas. We know he was a devil. But you know what? All the way up until the very end, he was giving Judas a chance after chance after chance. Why? Because I tell you, he was already in trouble. But you imagine the trouble he's going to be in. Man, that's like, you know, you got levels of this and that. Let me tell you something. That devil who has done all the damage he's done, you better believe he's going to get the worst punishment of all of them. There's no telling the punishment. Our minds cannot fathom what's going to come to him because of the damage that he's done. And the Lord says, woe unto them. He said, fence is going to come, but woe unto them through whom they come. Now here, Nebuchadnezzar is getting this dream here, and he gets warned. But I tell you what, even though he's a type of the devil, you know what? Later on in this book, you're going to see that he gives glory to God in the end of that thing. So that's another thing. You have to, a lot of times we give up on people. Don't give up on anybody. Why, you never know, man. We've seen people who you would have never thought that they got right with God, and they end up getting right. And then some people you think they're going to, and they don't. It's just amazing how that thing works. Why, we don't know the heart. God sees the heart. So Nebuchadnezzar is being shown this dream here. Verse 2, it says, then the king commanded to call the magicians and the astrologers, just like he was warning them back then. I'm going to tell you something. When God warns you about something, you better heed it. Here it comes. And the sorcerers and the Chaldeans, for to show the king his dreams. So they came and stood before the king. And the king said unto them, I have dreamed a dream. All right. I have a dream. One day, that sounds familiar, don't it? All right. I've dreamed a dream. And my spirit was troubled to know the dream. Now, let me show you something about this dream here. Numbers chapter 12. Now, about dreams and visions. Before I say some of these things, I like to clarify before I go into something, because I am not going to put God in a box. God has got a program. God has got a thing he goes by. But at the same time, you have to be real careful. I don't make the rules. God does. Now, he won't contradict his book. But at the same time, that's like dispensations. We got these dispensations of how God's done this in this time period. God's done this time period. All right, well, here the Lord comes to the Jews. And if God wants to step out of that thing for a minute, he can. Why? To make an exception to the rule. Well, that's up to the Lord. You got one lady, she's a Gentile, and she comes and she says, Lord, she wanted her daughter to be healed. And the Lord said, well, it's not meet to give the things, how did he put it, unto the Gentiles, the things of God unto the Gentiles, something like that. And she said, yeah, but the dogs eat from the master's table. Well, he helped her. We know that the Bible said he came to the lost sheep of the house of Israel, and here he steps out of that line right there. So, like these dreams and visions. There are people out here who do not have a Bible. Now, I'm not going to tell you, stand here and tell you that God couldn't give them a dream of some kind and shake them up and get them to thinking they need to be thinking about God. I'm not going to do that. But I said all that to say this. These people that's doing all this dreaming that they're doing stuff, that is not of God. I do not believe, based on what I read in the Bible, if somebody's got a Bible, God's going to give them these dreams. Well, all that is somebody just wanting to make you think they're more spiritual than what you are. So I dreamed the other night and I got up here. That's what they're doing in these crazy churches, man. And these people, why? They're going against the Bible. It's another authority. And they call it, some of them call it the Rhema word, you know, and all this stuff. Well, y'all, God would never contradict his word. Never. And you got a lot of this stuff that's going on today is not of God at all. And they're trying to use, you know, Old Testament things. Say, well, he got a dream in the Old Testament. I'm going to get a dream. Look, you better watch out. You eat too much pizza and drink too much Sprite at night before you go to bed. Ain't no telling what you're liable to dream. So he says in Numbers 12, verse 6. And he said, hear now my words, if there be a prophet among you, I, the Lord, will make myself known unto him in a vision. Now, that's something that could happen, man, right during the day. The Lord can give a vision. All right. And will speak unto him in a dream. All right. So they know that this thing could have come to pass here. God's using a dream to get a message across. He done it with Pharaoh, too. And so he does this. But today, You better get your information from the Bible, because you know you read about these filthy dreamers over in the New Testament. Y'all remember reading that? I believe it's over in Jude, where he talks about these filthy dreamers despising dominion, you know. And then you've got a wicked imaginations the Bible talks about. And so that's what goes on today, is filthy dreaming. All right, and so watch this. Then spake the Chaldeans to the king in Syriac, O king, live forever, tell thy servants the dream, and we will show the interpretation. You know what's amazing to me? Here they go. They're going to show you the interpretation. Now, someone told me this one time, and I thought it was pretty interesting. I forgot where I got it, but concerning this verse, have men become sorcerers today by imitating God's role as word definer? Just as the Egyptians imitated Moses, remember they had imitated Moses. Moses had the true word from God. They imitated Moses in Exodus 7:11. So what you have is here, they're saying, we're going to give you the interpretation. Well, these modern day word definers, you know, they say, well, that interpretation right there is wrong, you know. We'll give you the right interpretation. That verse really don't. That's not really what that verse said. Well, yeah, but I'm reading it on my paper. How come your interpretation wasn't the one that was put in the verse? Looks to me like God. You know what? The more I think about that, you know, these people they'll try to change that word and say that word really don't mean that. It means it. Yeah, but this is the one that's on the paper that God had written on paper, that's been here. It's, you know, for all this time, I believe I'll go by this one and not yours. And another thing, too, you can ask them. And whenever they go to doing that stuff, this is what I want to ask them. Let me give you a menu or something, if you don't mind. Read that menu off in Greek, if you don't mind. They can't do it. They can't do it. And if they can't do it, I don't want to have them. If you can't read that menu in Greek, what makes me think that you can read my Bible in Greek and do a better job than the King James translators? And see, that's what you have. But see, it's sorcery. You know what we're going to find out over here? Sorcery, you know, like in Revelation. These sorcerers, they mix these chemicals together and stuff like that right there. And it's kind of like a drug use today or something. You know, they got these mixing of chemical. Well, sorcery, mixing things together, mixing stuff in the Bible. You know, it's spiritually, you can use it in that sense too. These sorcerers, they just mix everything up and make it say what they want it to say. And God says, well, one of those, that mixing over there, and the mixed multitude he talks about. Man, the world would love to mix that Bible up where you can't understand it. I tell you what they don't like about that Bible right there is too plain for them. And here they're going to give you the interpretation. Well, they don't have it. The king answered and said to the Chaldeans, the thing is gone from me. Man, I love that. I like it's gone. Sometimes, man, I can dream something, just old dumb dream that I have, and I done forgot the thing. I think, what did I dream earlier? It was something crazy. I remember that. It was, but I can't remember. But like with him, the thing's gone from me. But you know, I have a sinking suspicion that he knew that they were a bunch of frauds. There's no telling some of the junk they took. Because look, y'all could tell me a dream, and I could come out here and come up with some kind of wild thing and tell you some interpretation if you told me what it was. This represents that, and this represents the other thing. And I could tell you, and you say, wow, man, that God really knows something. Just fed you a whole bunch of nonsense. So that's what they're going to do. He says, it's gone from me. Now watch this. This is what he's doing. If ye will not make known unto me the dream with the interpretation thereof. Man, he's a rough cat. Ye should be cut in pieces. Don't you know their hearts sink? And your houses shall be made a dunghill. Now, you know what he's doing? Testing the spirits. The Bible says in 1 John 4:11, testing the spirit. He may not have realized what he's doing, but he's doing that. You know what you have to do? You have to test the spirits. And this is a spiritual book. You're going to realize more and more and more. This is the most important tool you have. I wouldn't go nowhere with that. The more I'm getting to where I carry a Bible with me everywhere I go, because I'm getting to where now I can't remember. Like if something come across me, I can't remember it. So I jot it down and I check it as soon as I can in the Bible. Because if I don't, a lot of times I'll forget, what was that early day I was going to check? Now, I had something I was going to check on. It's best to have a little notepad or something down. Write that thing down right then. and check on it. Why? Because you'll forget it. But check your thoughts. That's like with me now. Now that I know, according to that Bible, the devil can put a thought in your mind. Man, check that thing with the Bible. I had a weird thought. I'm going to go in here and check this thing and make sure there's something. Well, look, I better not go by that, because that's not spiritual. That's the flesh, man, or some of it's the devil. And you have to check everything. He's checking them, man. He's just going through. He said, all right, well, let's just see what you've got. You say you got all these gifts. Let's just see what you got. And that's like the charismatics. Okay, you're a healer then. Let's just go to the hospital then together. Let's go down here and let's go down here and heal some people today. You won't ever have to worry about asking for another offering. You heal one or two millionaires' children, and guess what? You'll have all the money you need, I guarantee you. And they can't do it. They just can't do it. Verse number 6. But if ye show the dream and the interpretation thereof, ye shall receive of me gifts and rewards and great honor. Therefore, show me the dream and the interpretation thereof. Man, that's how the world does. They want to honor you. You know, they'll say, if you do this, I'll give you honor and all this stuff. Don't you know? Man, we should want the honor of God. God deserves all the honor, and we should be trying to get His smile and His blessing on the things that that we do. I know I'm running out of time, but I want to at least get to the paragraph mark in verse number 9. They answered again and said, let the king tell his servants the dream, and we will show the interpretation of it. The king answered and said, I know of certainty that you would gain the time, because ye see the thing is gone from me. See, he knew what they were trying to do. He's smart. But if you will not make known unto me the dream, there is but one decree for you. For ye have prepared lying and corrupt words to speak before me. He had their number. Till the time be changed. Therefore, tell me the dream, and I shall know that ye can show me the interpretation thereof. And we're going to see a great thing next time. I'll stop there.